Rachel, Justin, Larry.
Do you want to play a game?
Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin.
And we are joined, as you can tell by the title music, only by Rachel this week.
Yes, I am your Stockholm hostage.
For those who remember back to last summer, Mars doesn't have any ability to game really on anything. She watched Rachel play Alien Isolation last summer, but due to craziness at work and Rachel's scheduling of playing this game, I think it might have been too hard to coordinate.
I mean, she technically has the ability to. She just can't remember the password to turn her PC on. So,
oh boy,
oh no.
So there's that.
So normally during this Saw mini season, I have had like either or questions or some trivia. We aren't doing that this week. We are actually recording like a few days before that release to give Rachel time to beat the game.
Behind the red curtain. Wow.
Well, I was just saying, because of that, we are going to actually talk about what we've been up to, which hasn't happened for a few weeks now on the podcast. So as our guest, Rachel, anything you've been watching, any games you've been playing, any books you've been reading, what's new with you?
Well, I mean, I've been watching a lot of Saw, that's for sure. the other thing, I mostly have been watching stuff for my podcast, but I did get to squeeze in one, like, non-work thing.
What's
which
that?
Was the new documentary series on Hulu, Sasquatch. Is anybody else watching this?
Is that the one where the Bigfoot killed the weed growers?
Yes.
I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my list.
Okay,
and
so it's
Canada
like
doesn't get Hulu, so, you know, there's a...
Oh, there's no Hulu in Canada?
Nope. I mean, I have other ways to watch it, but
I would say, like, set sail, Blackbeard. I'm sure you can get your hands on it. So, Justin, just one little thing. You're super, super quiet. Is that true for you, Larry, too?
Yeah, Ashley just typed it into the chat trying to not.
Yeah, that's much better. Sorry.
Yeah, you were very quiet. Like, I couldn't even hear you.
Oh, weird. Okay. Well, I'm back now. Okay.
Woo! All right. So, yeah. So, it's the new documentary series that's produced by the Duplass brothers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And it is directed by the director of the Lorena Bobbitt documentary. I haven't seen that, so I can't speak to its quality. But I will say I've seen the first two of the three parts of this, and it is really interesting. It focuses on this guy, David Hothouse, which is a very... correct name considering the content of this, who is an investigative journalist who spent some time in the 1990s, you know, working on marijuana farms in Northern California in the Emerald Triangle, which is like Humboldt, Trinity, and another county, but I can't remember where it is. And it's like deep squatch country as well. And so the hook of this is, like you said, it's about this guy remembering hearing about three men who were murdered on a farm, supposedly by squatch, because they had, you know, as they're trying to get further and further out into the woods to get, you know, hidden away from DEA, as well as other rival farms, thieves, all that stuff, there's maybe encroaching on squatch territory. And so he is kind of going back and trying to investigate if this is really true, that this happened, if these murders took place, if squatch really did it. And it's really more of, that's like the hook of it. And it's more about the culture and the effect of the war on drugs in that area and the culture to this day and how, like, the people there are very secretive and, you know, it's very dangerous to be up there. And he's kind of playing with fire by asking questions at all about what may or may not have been three Mexican immigrants who were murdered in the 90s on this marijuana farm. It's really, really interesting. Like, if you watch that Murder Mountain documentary on Netflix, this covers some of that same territory. And as someone who lives in California, who recently went on a vacation in this, well, not that recently, time has dilated, prior to quarantine, went on a vacation up in this area because it's, you know, Willow Creek, all that kind of stuff. It's really, really fascinating and I think really well done. So it's got like true crime, but also history aspects. And then, of course, the spooky doings of the big guy. So
cool.
I would definitely recommend it if you're curious.
All right. Anything else?
I'm trying to think if I've been... Not really. I mean, I've been playing Saw and watching Saw and doing some stuff for my podcast, but that's
Saw's life. Saw's life.
Saw's life, yeah. Saw's life. Saw is also becoming Dream, which is not great.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, oh, just wait. I know I said that every week, but just
you
wait.
You do? I mean, but you have yet to be wrong. Every week is upsetting.
So Saw 3D is the next one you're watching, right?
Yes. Are you going to join us for that one?
So on... the Monday that this comes out, we're actually going to be watching Saw 6, and then it's Saw 3D.
I will probably join for the first 15 minutes of Saw 3D, as long as you will Skype with me during it.
No promises. All you'll see is a blanket, like, over my face.
I just, oh my gosh. I watched all three of them last Friday. I sat down and watched them all. Uh-huh. And, I will just say Saw 3D was the first one where I felt myself stop having a good time.
Really? Because it was so gruesome, or just because it was so...
I don't want to say anything more than that because it's your first time. But for Justin's sake, I know he's kind of going through it for the first time in a minute. It was Saw 3D that I was like, ugh, okay. I remember now.
You remember why they took a few years off?
Yes.
God. Yeah, we got to the part where they were like... doing the blood sacrifice at the end of Saw 5.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't handle this. This is too much. Oh, right, and Justin was just like...
Oh, this is the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah. Saw 3D is... Oh, yeah. It's something. Okay. Well, on that happy note, Justin, what's been new with you, buddy? It's been a few weeks since I've asked you this question live.
Yeah. Fuck, what? Honestly, I don't even... Oh, I started Dark Souls 2.
Last night,
yeah.
You wouldn't take your pants off.
No, yes. I still won't.
I felt like Larry and I were like totally sexual harassing you last night.
I mean, I'll take them off right now if you want, but not in
Dark Souls. There's no camera, I can't tell.
Other than that, I've been watching a bunch of Saw.
Okay.
I watched Nobody, which was amazing.
Oh, yes, I watched that too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
Bob
Odenkirk.
How did I forget that?
I know. I love Bob Odenkirk, and it just really made me want to go back and watch Mr. Show. But yeah, I don't know. It was good. It was fun. It's like Michelle and I call it Bob Wick because it's John Wick, but with Bob Odenkirk, basically. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said Bob Wick, and I was like, don't correct him.
No, I meant it. Man, what else have I been watching? I mean, by the time this comes out, I'll have watched Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah. That's this weekend, right?
That's tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
Oh, I am. I know it's not going to be, like, great. It's going to be, like, a video game movie. It's not going to be amazing, but I think it'll be a lot better than Annihilation was.
Well, that's, like, comparing anything to shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Annihilation might be the worst, like, movie ever made.
Oh. Oh no.
With the budget it got and what it followed up with, it didn't have a high ceiling.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Or a high floor to hit, and it fell right through.
Have you seen the Super Mario Brothers movie?
I haven't.
Oh my.
But I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan, so Annihilation is something that I strongly remember.
Well, hopefully it is good. Well, I'm sure you're probably watching it tomorrow as well.
No, I'm actually going Saturday night. Devin has to work Saturday morning.
Oh, you're going
to see it
in a theater.
We are going to the theater.
Ooh. Living that post-vaccine life.
That's very, very true. When I bought my tickets this morning, we were the only people in there for the 10 o'clock showing. So I hope it maintains that.
Chef's kiss. That sounds fantastic.
Fuck.
Go
ahead.
Are you guys watching Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I am not.
I haven't watched a Marvel thing since.
I told him he should watch WandaVision. I told him the Falcon Winter Soldier is pretty good so far.
But my issue is that they all seem to have these things where it's like, okay, you have to have watched them all from the beginning to like really get it, and that's like such a high bar to set.
So with WandaVision, you just need to know that Vision died at the hand of Thanos.
Okay.
And with Falcon Winter Soldier, you just need to know that Captain America stayed back in time, got old, and died, and passed on the shield to the Falcon.
Okay, well, I know that now. So
yeesh.
Like I honestly I haven't watched. I think the last one I watched was the one where the snap happened, and I watched it maybe two
Infinity
movies.
War.
Okay, so you're like two movies behind. You could totally catch. Okay. Yeah. See, I thought you were like you know like Iron Man 2-ing it. No,
Andy has kids too, so it's like hard to like sit down and like get them to watch something.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not gonna make my kids watch that. I'd rather watch stuff they want to watch. Do you know how many times I've seen like Incredibles 2? I've seen Incredibles 2 like 3 times this week alone. Yeah, kids, trust me.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Although,
I mean, you could fully get me caught up for Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I would actually recommend. I think it's pretty fantastic. Like,
I've been enjoying it a lot.
I have big issues with all of the Captain America movies because I feel like they're so uncomplicated in the way that they look at nationalism and the way that they look at violence. And I feel like the reason my favorite MCU villain is Baron Zemo. He's my favorite.
Because
he complicates that narrative. And I think that this show is doing a really good job of
Baron Zemo in this show has been something special. Something that I haven't felt with Marvel since Killmonger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, I agree. I'm glad that
Zemo's the guy, Justin, from Age of Ultron.
Haven't seen it.
Civil War.
Haven't seen it.
No, was it Civil War? No,
it's Civil War.
You're right, because Age of Ultron's when he drops the city, and then Civil War is the one where he's getting revenge.
It results in the birth of Baron Zemo. Yeah,
so that's right. Okay.
Watch Civil War then. Like, I haven't seen, like...
I would watch Civil War because that one's good.
I mean, Devin and I just completed an entire Marvel MCU rewatch. And we had a good time, so...
I'm not going to do that, though.
Says the man who is making us watch 9,000 Saws.
Damn straight. And I'd do it again.
Anything else, Justin? You seem moody tonight.
No, I'm just tired. Honestly, there probably is other stuff. I honestly can't think of it. What about yourself, Larry? What have you been up to?
Yeah.
So for me, I just picked up a Stephen King book I hadn't read before. I haven't started it yet. It's Eye of the Dragon. It's high fantasy, which I did not know about, and I'm pretty excited, especially because I found out Randall Flagg is like the bad guy.
Yes, he is.
So I'm pretty pumped for that. I'm still listening to the Inheritance Cycle, which is like the Christopher Pelini Dragon Rider series. I'm almost done with book 3. I'm seeing Mortal Kombat in theaters on Saturday. I've been watching Game of Thrones. We talked about that for a little bit before we started recording. Ooh. I saw the promotional stuff for the Iron Anniversary, and I decided to do it. On season 4, Tyrion is still my guy. I love Sansa. I love Dany a lot more. Knowing everything I know, Littlefinger is much more manipulative. And honestly, I am not looking forward to 7 and 8 when it all just comes crashing down on top of them like Jaime and Cersei. So that's my feels there.
That's fair.
I expressed my feels before the show. You are a masochist, my friend.
Just like Rachel said, I've also been watching Falcon Winter Soldier. That's been a lot of fun. Devin and I watched this Marvel stuff together, and it's been fun. The episode 2 weeks ago, for people who've seen it, it ends with a shield shot.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. Is that the first time we've seen, like, actual gore in Marvel? Uh-huh.
I mean, to that extent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was very impressed. I think they've been doing it very, very well. I watched the trailer for The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. Justin,
oh, yeah. What'd you think?
So I'll tell you how I think by telling Justin said he was going to watch it before we recorded. I told him not to waste his time.
Oh. Spicy.
Yeah.
You're the one person in my, you know, horror friend nerd group who I assumed to be the most excited about it because you're the biggest fan I know.
I know. I love The Conjuring. From watching that trailer, I could feel James Wan's presence no longer involved.
Ooh. Is he not directing this one?
Nope. It's his first one. He's not helming. It's the director who did The Curse of La Llorona.
Ooh, Mr. mistakes are being made.
Uh-huh. And the thing about The Conjuring is similar to the same thing like about the first Insidious film. It's a thing that I honestly like about Dead Silence. It's a tonal thing. Mm-hmm. And watching that trailer, I feel like the tone is not right.
I could see that. I will die on the hill that Dead Silence is totally underrated.
I think it's a fun movie, and it's kind of scary at times,
it's
too.
It's scary when they're under the house or whatever, and mm-hmm. she's chasing them around. No, that shit is scary as hell.
And like I said, anything with an old lady, you get me every time. It creeps me out. Mm-hmm. Old ladies just do not do it for me. They really make
Sample
my skin crawl.
And recontextualize immediately.
As far as video games is going, I'm not really playing a whole lot. I've been playing Death Stranding on stream on Saturdays. I plan on playing more of that this weekend. I am almost done with Bravely Default 2. I've been loving that. It's very grindy. Mm. So if people aren't into that, you probably won't like it. But I've been, especially now that I got some of these end game jobs, like it's a job system. I've got a couple of these end game job systems going, and it's amazing.
Nice.
Like I honestly have it set up in a way, like if you play like the old school JRPG, like turn based stuff, like where literally my team just does its work for me.
Nice.
Which is nice. Fun. I mean, Justin, you play a lot of JRPGs, so I'm sure you understand that feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the big news is Devin and I have been talking about what we wanted to do for our 1 year anniversary.
God, is it already clubbing up?
September.
How is that possible? Okay.
September, yeah.
It's like time is slipping away.
Because like we didn't do a honeymoon and we kept our wedding really low key, obviously because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But so Devin messaged me on Tuesday, I believe, that one of my favorite bands in high school and still one of my favorite bands to this day, Mudvayne, was getting back together and doing a 4-show reunion tour this fall.
Nice.
One of the tour stops is a weekend festival called Incarceration, which takes place at the Mansfield Reformatory, which is right near us where they shot Shawshank.
Cool.
And so Devin and I talked and we got VIP tickets.
Ooh.
We will be sitting on the stage. If we Amazing. So choose. And the headliners are Mudvayne, Slipknot, and Rob Zombie.
Oh my god. That is all a blast for the past right there, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've seen Rob Zombie. I haven't seen Slipknot. Slipknot's another one of my favorite bands. And like I said, we bought the tickets when the only band we knew that was going to be there was Mudvayne.
What is Mud? I know the name, but I'm trying to like, it's like in that sort of like hardcore early aughts milieu. I can't.
Yes, Justin. With your magical sound,
I'm not playing any Mudvayne. We will definitely get taken down for Mudvayne.
Oh, I'll send you some songs, Rachel.
Okay. Yes, please.
They're both famous ones. Probably Happy. They also have one of their songs is in Saw 2.
Okay.
Is a theme. Like the theme for Saw 2, I think.
I don't remember.
So I was watching some of their YouTube videos, and
don't forget
the Saw, one of the music videos was from Saw 2, like all the like scenes from it.
Nice. Okay, so it's probably on. It's definitely like on the OST.
Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah.
I can do some googling. I was just hoping you were gonna break out some.
Oh no, I cannot sing like Mr. Gray can sing. No. Do you know the band Hell Yeah?
Forget to Remember is the name of the song that is in Saw 2.
So Hell Yeah is the band that David Gray started after Mudvayne went on hiatus. Because I think the drummer for Mudvayne, his brother, I think it was his brother or cousin, some family member, was Dimebag Darrell.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I know who Dimebag Darrell is because when I saw Rob Zombie, it was still White Zombie and it was with Pantera.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So awesome. Yep. So cool. And yeah, so like, I mean, that was something it kind of happened and it's just going to be Devin and I. I'm just really excited. I mean, live music has been something I've really missed.
Mm-hmm.
I just, this is the feel, the crowd and everything. I'm just really pumped for it. And it's super close to us. Like, we've already talked to Devin's mom, and she's just going to like pick us up and drop us off outside the reformatory.
Nice.
And I mean, I don't drink anyway, but just that we don't have to pay for parking or anything. And yeah, I don't know. It was just something that happened this week that really, 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 really made me smile. Because
that's so awesome. That's good.
Yeah. Because we'll all be vaccinated. And I was like reading over, like, they're doing a lot of COVID protocols, like temperature checks. I haven't seen anything about a vaccination, like, passport or anything. I hope they would do it.
I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's all outside. Yeah. It's definitely got the VIP tickets. We have our own private entrance.
And, like, nice.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, it's definitely it's the most money I've ever spent probably on all my concerts in my entire life.
I know you drop some coins.
Yeah, it's definitely
when you're like,
the most
we're gonna be
money
on the stage. We're basically gonna be in the band. Like,
So Larry, I have a question then.
Yeah, yeah.
So you called me out for the mixer that I bought. Is it more expensive than that?
You can edit this out. How much was the mixer?
$800.
Yes.
It was?
Oh yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Like, each or for one of you? Or for
both
total?
Of us. Total.
Okay,
total,
that's
total.
Good. That's good.
Well, we've been saving like crazy for our house.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what?
Oh, sometimes yeah, no.
If something really matters, drop the fucking coins.
Well, it's
your 1 year. And like,
yeah, it's our 1 year anniversary. Like, we didn't do a honeymoon. And like, we're still saving. It's not like we didn't put on a credit card. We literally paid for it in cash. Yeah. Like, and I don't know. It's just like, I've always told myself, like, Mudvayne, System of a Down, and Radiohead are like three bands that if they come close enough to me, I'll do what I can to see them.
I've seen two out of three.
Who have you
although
seen?
I may have seen Mudvayne. We'll act like,
I bet you've seen
they
Mudvayne.
Ever did. They ever did like Ozfest.
Oh, yes, they have.
Then
oh
I
my
definitely
gosh, yeah.
have seen them. Yeah. I saw Radiohead in Belfast when I was in Ireland. I saw.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Radiohead got me through cross country camp. Honestly, without cross country, without them during that week of that 1 week of cross country camp was worse than any one collective week at West Point. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Horrible.
Did it get you through Suspiria?
Yeah. That's one of the things I liked about it. It wasn't as good as obviously the original, but like I can listen to Thom Yorke. I actually have listened. I actually have that song, his theme from Suspiria, on a playlist on my data analysis playlist where I just put on music that's to have this to stay calm and not get mad when numbers don't figure properly.
I mean, it definitely is the Xanax of music, for sure.
All right. We've been talking a whole lot. I know Justin is tired and... But no, like I said, I'm just in like, honestly, that concert, this, and then it starts to feel like we're getting back to normal. You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm so glad. That's I good. Also booked something this week, including plane tickets.
What?
So the last thing I canceled before we went into quarantine was a trip to Disneyland because they had just opened the Rise of the Resistance ride.
Uh-huh.
And I bought Disneyland tickets. So
Disneyland is in Florida, yeah?
No, Disneyland's in Anaheim.
Okay,
Disney
okay.
World is in Florida.
I've never been to either, so I'm not very good with that. Okay.
So, yeah.
When are you going?
Yeah. May 24th, I think.
Oh, wow. It's coming up.
Yeah. Yep. And it's like the park is like 24 or 25% capacity. Is
oh,
what they're
my
limiting
God.
It to,
the
so it's
lines
be...
will be amazing.
I know. I'm so excited.
Oh,
I'm
my God.
All the Mickey pretzels. So, yeah, I did that. And then, like, Randy's birthday's coming up, so we're like, are we going back to Vegas? I don't know.
Another place I've never been.
Well,
it's okay,
we're going to have to make it happen, dude.
I would love to go there.
It's so fun. We're going to have to go.
Like, I don't like to gamble ever since I started making my own money. Gambling's not for me.
No. Unless it's craps. Craps is so fun.
But I mean, Celine Dion's been there. Like, I know Gaga's there now, I think.
I don't know if her residency is still ongoing. It was there. She was there last time I was there.
Okay.
Because I got. I was like at the New York, and got stuck in the like queue for for an Uber that was like more like a lifestyle choice.
Honestly, like once like travel restriction stuff lift, I think Vegas would be a really nice place for like us the capital.
I think it's central, right? Like,
yeah.
I think we should. I am all
cheap
for
flights, cheap hotels. If you,
like, I mean, that's the thing. Is like the flights are like $50, dude.
So yeah, because like Devin's stepdad is a big Raiders fan, and he's. I don't think he's ever been to like an actual game like in when it was out in Oakland, but now that it's in Vegas, like they're looking at tickets. Like, you can get packages to go see them for like nothing.
Oh yeah, I mean
it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. You just gotta like watch for deals, and you can like. You can be living your rock star life on a dime budget. It's
I awesome. Honestly, we should talk off air and maybe plan something, because I think that would be a lot of fun.
We would have so much fun. I fucking love Vegas. So anytime you want to go, I'll be like, yep, let's do it. One other thing I remember I did that I would like, that we don't have to get in deep in it, but I want to do this with you guys.
What's up?
Is I played Phasmophobia.
Oh, right.
Oh, God.
We talked about this.
Dude, it is so fun. You will love it. It is a little bit scary, but you'll be fine.
I've played it.
Okay, it's not that scary. Did you think
I really threw
scary?
The headphones off my head and told my friend Matt I'm never playing this again.
I feel like we, you, me,
it whispered Justin behind my Tuck, ear.
Yeah, it's creepy. Like, their friends were through the spirit box. It told me it was going to kill me. But it's okay. We're all there for each other. But I feel like the Soul Patrol must ride again, and we must play Phasmophobia. Because it is so fun.
There is an issue there that we can talk about.
Oh, you can just say it real easy. My computer can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
Really? It's like a pretty basic game, isn't it?
No.
My computer barely handles me opening Streamlabs.
Okay. All right.
Rachel, if you want to play it, let me know.
Yeah.
I want to play whenever you want to play. That game is hella
fun. A new computer is on my list, but apparently it's below tickets to a rock concert. But
you better scalp them tickets so we can play Phasmophobia.
But my good friend, Matt, not the Comet P, another friend, Matt, he has said if I ever wanted to play it with friends, that because he has it in VR over at his house.
Ooh, see, now that sounds real
if you
want to
play it in VR, I'll play it in VR with you.
That he would set me up. So
I'll toss on the headset and I'll play it with you in VR.
Yes.
So if we actually do plan on doing it, he just said he wants to be able to watch and make fun of me because I'm a giant wimp. Watch my Five Nights at Freddy's stream if you ever want to see that. But no, we can plan something. Maybe after I move, maybe we can plan a night and see if Tuck. Cause I know, I'm not sure if Tuck's computer could handle it either.
No.
Let's start a GoFundMe to get Tuck a better computer so that we can all play this game.
We'll all just send her a piece and she can build it herself up there in the woods.
Perfect. Deal. I'm in.
All right, Justin. You are queued up, I'm sure, knowing your professionalism.
Oh, yeah. You just let me know, baby.
All right, hit the button, buddy, and let's get into the Saw game review.
Go on, Detective Tapp. I want to play a game.
That theme music, I had forgotten it because it had been a minute.
Yeah.
Not for all of us.
Okay. So Justin is going to be doing the game background. Rachel is going to be doing the 60-second plot summary. But before we get into that, I thought maybe we would do a little bit of our experience with the game. I know mine and Rachel's will be very short. So with that, we'll start with Justin. You are obviously the biggest Saw head in the group.
Weird way to put it.
I didn't know how else to phrase it.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's find out right now. Saw fans, what do they
call Jigsawites?
Themselves?
Sociopaths? JK.
Sadists. Is the word we're looking for. But Justin, did you play
sodists.
This game on release?
They're sodists. That's it.
Sodists. We got it. It's done. Book it.
Yeah, I actually did play this game on release. Not only that, I remember taking part in a lot of like messaging boards around when this game was announced to like people were like trying to guess what it was about. And unfortunately, what was kind of thrown about is, I mean, it's always going to be better than what actually comes out. But like, I remember getting super psyched because at one point in time, it was rumored that it was going to be a game where you play as Jigsaw. making traps, which, I mean, obviously thinking, like actually sitting here and thinking about it now, that would be like basically impossible in 2009?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't pull that kind of stuff off.
I'm just picturing like a Homescapes version. Right? We're like, I got to build the rack. But first I need to sweep out the study. And
time to head to Home Depot. Herb Ben Shapiro is there buying his one piece of lumber. So we can ask him for some guidance.
Speaking of people who belong on the rack.
But I'm trying to think though. So yeah, I mean, I played it like right on release. I've always been a Saw fan. And then I actually haven't played it since until we started bringing it up about, well, until I started kind of bugging you to, hey, we need to do like a Saw thing.
You never bugged me. You said you wanted to do it, and I said yes. The pandemic pushed it off, not me.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know, but you know, the second I saw that we got like another firm release date for Spiral, I was like, oh, just wait until I get home, Larry.
Oh, dude, the thing is, I was so ready for it because I was ready to put a little pause on the Kaiju.
Oh, yeah.
This pause has been like chef's kiss.
I've had a lot. I've at least jumped a little bit during these Saw movies.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I mean, I played it and beat it and 2009 when it came out, and then I remember it. I mean, I guess kind of spoilers for later. I remember it being better than it is. For when I got, you know,
I guess it's a good point to say it. Lots of spoilers. Yeah. Lots of spoilers.
Oh, like spoilers for the movies and I mean, obviously this game.
Honestly, Justin, we should just cut a little like teaser before even the intro music starts, where it's like, if you're listening to this, stuff will be spoiled.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, but we actually tried to do that like when we started.
Did we?
And then it never sounded good, so we just didn't, and then we never brought it up again.
All right.
Kind of like how we need to re-record our outro.
But... Oh gosh, there's so many things we need to do.
Yeah, we'll get around to it like in a year or two, right?
Yeah. All right, so this was my first time ever playing it. I had bought it on the Xbox 360 because I saw it at a used game store for like $2, like years ago, figuring that we would probably play it on the podcast at some point. Justin gifted me a copy of the game on PC. And
Yar.
Huh?
Oh, I said Yar.
Yeah, and that was how I found out that my computer was dying.
Oh,
right.
This thing is cursed. It crashed my computer last night. I almost didn't finish the game last night. I like took pictures of the error screens because I was like, they're not going to believe that I
didn't. Yeah, it beat the crap out of my game, out of my PC.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it more when we review it. I would say there are parts of this game that I felt were really good. And there were parts of this game that almost had me breaking controllers. Oof. So that's my quick little tease. Rachel. So why don't you tell us your journey with the Saw game?
I didn't even know it was a thing. You know, it was just Saw has never really been on my radar. I know that I joke and stuff, but I'm actually am having a good time watching these. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I finally have faced my fear. But for many years, anything Saw, and I would just like, yeah, whatever, and it would just pass over me. So I didn't even know it was a thing. But when we were doing this, you asked me to play it, and I'm like, I like video games. Surely this will be a great time. There were times where I straight up said, I don't want to fucking play this anymore.
Oh, like, yeah.
This, about the fifth time my head exploded from some caller guy.
I wonder if Justin saved my text messages to him on his phone.
I would like to know what those said.
I have to go back and see.
Because we'll talk about like gameplay, but if anybody who knows me and how I talk about games, like there's a reason why I'm able to get a knife only run done in Resident Evil 1. It's because I run by everything. I haul ass through games. We'll talk about in gameplay how that bit me in the ass over and over and over and over again.
And it was like a compounding situation. When we get there, we need to talk about why that was so painful.
I think gameplay might be some of the most fun we've had on this podcast in a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so I didn't really know anything about it. I know supposedly there is a sequel out there, perhaps.
Justin said not to even bother with it.
It hasn't come up, so I'm guessing.
Yeah, Justin told me not to bother with it.
Yeah, it is.
Rough stuff.
It's fucking terrible. It is like, if you thought this was bad, spoiler, I guess, the sequel is like unplayable.
Wow.
Gross.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I think
its average is like a two or three out of ten. Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking bad.
Yeah. That sounds rough, man. I feel sad too because I know how much you love this franchise, and nothing would probably make you more happy than like just a killer Saw game.
If we got one now, I think it would be a lot better. Here, actually, you know what? I actually have a poll quote about the second game, if you don't mind me.
Oh no, please. Reading this quickly.
It's
please.
Very quick. It just says, "The game doesn't just take a step backwards from the first game. It performs a reverse swan dive off of a balcony into a swimming pool filled with razor blades."
Ooh, sure. Are you excited about the 4K remake of this game coming? Do you guys not know that with the release of Spiral, there's like a new version of this coming out?
Oh, I did not know that, no.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll actually be able to see the fucking tripwires.
No, you're
or where you're
me.
Supposed to go.
No, you got to be kidding me. I'm looking this up right now.
Google away, sir.
Well, Justin,
I'm
you have
Mandela
to wait.
Affecting.
You have to wait. You have to give us the background of this game.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if you guys are ready for it, I don't have a ton of background information, and it'll come. You'll see why. But if you guys are ready, I can get into it.
Sure.
Let's do this.
All right. So Saw, also known as Saw the Video Game, is a survival horror game that was developed by Zombie Studios and published by Konami for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC. The game was released in October 2009 in North America and then in other regions later that year. It is a part of the Saw film franchise and is set between the first and second movies. The development team brought in the Saw creators, James Wan and Lee Whannell, to help with the storyline and create new trap designs for the game. Sorry, I had to take a deep breath. I'm very fat. Sorry.
Shut up! You're so stupid!
Prior to the release of Saw 3, Twisted Pictures and Brash Entertainment announced that they would be creating a game based on the Saw property. Eventually, it kept getting pushed, and then eventually, after I think a year or two of no updates, Brash Entertainment said that they had run out of money and that they were no longer going to make the game. They eventually confirmed that Zombie Studios was going to take over the development of the game, and originally, the game's plot was originally going to follow that of the first Saw movie, with the players assuming control of various characters in Jigsaw's trap. But this was later changed. And did you guys know that the PC version of Saw includes the Unreal Editor? So it is completely mod supported, and that only one mod ever came out.
Whoa, that's kind of telling.
Yeah.
What was the mod?
It is called Truth, and the player controls Melissa Singh.
Interesting.
Yeah, and to her, basically, her escape from the institution, I guess you could call it. And in this game, the only cast member to reprise their role from the movie was Tobin Bell.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Obviously, it takes place. It is canonical, apparently. We will get into whether that is important or not in the plot discussion. But also, I have sales figures from the first 10 weeks that this game was on sale.
Okay.
And that is it. No further, because I don't know why.
Not a single game was sold after that.
I mean, I can break it down. So, these are all, like, these are always like rough estimates, really. But it is rumored that it sold only 940,000 copies of the game, which is abysmal.
Okay.
Shocking.
The PC game sold the worst, rumored to have sold under 20,000 copies.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah. The middle in that pack is the 360 version. Or no. Oh, yeah, the 360 version at 280,000, and then the PS3 version at 360,000.
Okay.
And that's all I got. There is obviously the sequel is made, but it's trash. And we will not be playing it.
Are you going to make us watch the HD remake? Say no.
Ooh.
No is the answer to that question.
I don't know. I haven't been able to find anything on it, so I don't. Is it actually a thing, or was it?
Yeah, it's
like
a thing. I mean, unless I'm Mandela affecting right now, then yes.
No. If you would like to know, by the way, the Saw 2 Flesh and Blood is what it is called. It is also set between the first and second game, and it actually stars the son of David Tapp, Michael.
Okay.
And it is trash, and that is the last time that we will speak of that game's existence.
At least it had an African-American protagonist, I guess. That's something you don't really see a lot in survival horror games.
Yeah.
I guess
that's
true.
Yeah, and in 2009, too.
So I'll give some positives out. I'm in a good mood.
Wow. All right. Yeah, that's all I got. So, are you ready, Rachel?
I'm ready.
I have a stopwatch pulled up. I will give you a 3.
Oh, for this. Okay, shit. Yeah, okay.
For this.
I will give you a 3, 2, 1, and then you can go, okay?
Okay.
3.
Also, just let me know if the music is too loud, and I will turn it down.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
In the game, you play as Detective David Tapp, Danny Glover's character from the first movie. He sure seemed dead, but hey, he's back, and Jigsaw somehow had him healed. Jigsaw throws Tapp into an abandoned asylum because it's spooky. Tapp has a key implanted in his chest that others need, so now he's quote-unquote it. There's a lot of hand-to-hand fighting with puzzle-based traps sprinkled in between to mix it up. In the process of trying to escape, Tapp encounters characters mentioned in the previous, or in the movies. He has to help them escape their own traps. He is confronted by the fact that he could have prevented his partner's death and becomes more unhinged as the things proceed. After facing off a pig lady, he finally makes his way to Jigsaw's lair, and he's given two choices: freedom without Jigsaw's capture, or truth, with consequences. The freedom path leaves Tapp to becoming depressed, so he commits suicide, restoring canon. The truth is, his partner's widow was running the game all along. She's killed by Jigsaw, and Tapp is, very ironically, committed to an asylum. The end.
Time. Good job.
Yeah!
And Justin, just for your own notes, I didn't even hear your music.
Yeah, I didn't hear it either. I mean, at the very end, I heard a little, dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I tried to quiet it down a lot, because I've been noticing that it's, it's very loud in my ear, so I'm not, 100% sure how loud it is.
It's okay. I just want to let you know for when you're editing. That was the only reason why I brought it, said anything. Okay.
Also, in case you guys want to know, my cat took a stinky poo, so I am now in living hell. So,
do you need to pause and
I'll deal with it after. No,
are
I'll
you
deal
sure?
With it after.
All right,
whatever. I'll deal with it ever after.
Okay. All right, do all you right. Poo.
Okay.
I am in a living hell, though. I will tell you that.
Dude, let's just pause for 2 minutes.
No, just go. Keep going.
you're an odd one. So let's talk about plot. I'll go first.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the game.
Okay.
I thought it was cool that they tied stuff in. I liked how we saw characters throughout other Saw movies and franchises. I really liked the fact that we got Tobin Bell to do the voice actor of Jigsaw, because honestly, I think we'll come to realize this by the end of our time with this franchise, he is the most important part of it.
He sure thinks so.
Huh?
I said he sure thinks so.
I thought it was good. I thought it was interesting that the Freedom was the canonical ending, and it was a very, very dark ending. Like, I was not ready for that suicide.
I kind of want to... That's actually, like, one of my main issues with it as well, is I feel like because they made the decision to make it canonical and have Tap kill himself at the end, it really kind of deflated the whole game. And, like, why did they make it canonical if literally... Yeah, like, I thought it would have been cool if he... Like,
well, so, I know... So... When I've been looking up, like, this, like, notes and stuff from, like, the background of the films, they wanted to bring Danny Glover back. The intention was to bring him back. He was not supposed to be dead at the end of the first Saw movie, especially after the franchise kind of took off. Yeah. But it wasn't even that he didn't want to come back. It was that they couldn't get it in his schedule. So part of me wonders if they wanted to get a clean-cut ending to it. Because he was, like I said, in my reading online about the character, and actually I found this out when I was looking at the game and stuff, it was their way to end their time with Tap because they felt like his character was important, and they knew they didn't want to recast it, and they knew they weren't going to be able to complete the arc they wanted, which is why it's important. Like you mentioned, Justin, what's his face? James Wan's writer friend who now directs movies.
Lee Whannell?
Thank you. Wow, I always forget his name. Lee Whannell, he was the writer for this game.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of see that. So even though I don't like it, it does give me a little bit more peace with it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were able to take away something good out of this.
Like the plot. I won't lie to you.
I personally do agree with you. I think the plot of this game is the strongest thing about this game because, I mean, I think starting it off with, I mean, even at that time and still to this day, you are literally stuck in the most iconic trap and you have to get out.
Yeah, and it, not only that, but like especially since we're going through the whole series.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I feel like this has a better plot mechanics than some of the movies we're watching. I mean, Rachel hasn't gotten to where it's gotten bad yet, but I feel like...
Really? I haven't? No. I haven't seen 5.
I have, and you haven't seen 6 or 3D. And that's what I'm saying, like, because this came out in 2009, it takes place between 1 and 2, and it feels like it takes place between 1 and 2 and not like it happened like almost 4 or 5 movies deep into the franchise. It feels more like what Lee Whannell and James Wan were trying to do. And I think that's why I liked it more.
Sprinkled with some like real, real video game ass video game in it. Like that I honestly
well,
like,
I want to say that for we'll gameplay. I think we'll that's where the biggest sin is. But as far as the writing, I'm okay with it. I thought it was fun.
So I will agree that I mean having them close off kind of some storylines that you might have been thinking about, like what about Sing's wife? We kind of get closure to that. I mean, we definitely do get closure to that. We get Amanda, like we get all the hits that you expect from a Saw,
but in a game form. Which I mean,
yeah, and it, like I will say, it does feel like I know that's kind of a weird way to like transition from like game to movie, but it definitely like feels like a Saw, something that takes place in this like Saw universe.
I'll just tell you that I have played, especially as a kid going to the VHS store, a lot of video game or movie video game adaptations.
Ooh, they are horrible.
This, as far as plot goes, maybe they're very clear, as far as plot goes, I felt that this actually felt like I was in a Saw game.
Well, so the other thing with that too is like we had the writers from the original Saw, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't also trying to. A lot of these video game based or video game adaptations, kind of like try to retell the story of the movie.
Absolutely.
The exact like plot for plot. And they also try to like kind of rush them out and get them out the same day or a week before sometimes. The movie actually comes out, and man, it's always like this is legitimately like one of the only movie tie-ins that I agree. I actually enjoy the plot.
Quick side note. Yeah. I've been talking about the Inheritance Cycle, how I'm like listening to the audiobooks and enjoying my time with that. The movie about Aragorn is really bad. Like, it's up there with like one of the worst like book adaptations ever made. The game
is really good.
The game based on the movie, based on the book, is so bad. I played it when I was doing the Hog. It like literally when I was done with it, I put it in a box and I never want to see it again. So that's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, I just...
Oh yeah, no, trust me, I know they get bad. Like, dude, have you played the fucking like the Avatar game?
No,
the
Avatar
game.
Do you want to know?
That came out around the same time.
Do you want to know a movie sin for me?
Yeah,
I haven't seen Avatar.
You're not missing much, in my personal
opinion.
Have
you seen Pocahontas?
That's why I haven't watched it. I heard it was the same thing.
Yeah. You know what? It's the same thing, but Pocahontas.
I'm also not on that James Cameron like.
You know what? You get you toss T2 in front of me, I will watch it.
I have seen T2. I cry every single time I watch Titanic, but I haven't seen Aliens. And that's by him too, right?
Aliens, Terminator,
Yeah, so I know that's a Piranha sin of mine.
Piranha 2, right? Isn't that was him, right? The second
Piranha 2?
Yeah.
That was like his first thing, I think it was, right? It was that or Terminator, I can't remember. I don't think Terminator was his first.
Terminator was his first, that's a hell of a way to start the thing off.
It was his first or second one. I know they were like pretty close.
I think James Cameron is a total douche, but come on. Absolutely. The man has made some...
He did do a really good job playing himself in the Entourage cameo.
I didn't ever watch Entourage.
Oh, he is the one who directed Aquaman.
But, like, The Abyss is so good. True Lies.
Okay, I've seen True Lies. I've seen True Lies, and I like True Lies. Okay.
Yeah. You like Titanic? You've talked about Titanic.
I said that. Titanic makes me cry every single time. Every single time. It's the reason why I'm in love with Leonardo DiCaprio. Is because of that movie.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyways, sorry.
Okay.
The plot in the Saw game is... I, especially when you look at what we get in later Saw movies, it's on the higher end of
that Rachel, spectrum. You just don't know.
I feel like you guys are being so generous with this plot review.
Well, then it's your floor. You tell us what you think.
I think that what it does really well is it feels like a Saw movie. This game feels like a Saw movie, which Justin said. You know, it has the right level of grittiness, and the nihilism is strong throughout. And I think it has a strong beginning and like a very Saw ending. But there is a long stretch of this movie, which is just you like tracking down Obi, tracking down Amanda, all these like shoehorned in plot things that are like just serving as fan service. I don't think it's terrible, but like the glowing reviews I'm hearing about plot feel a little generous.
Oh, they are not glowing.
Yeah, it's more just that I'm trying to have some kind of positive outlook.
That's fair.
Go a little bit further, the positivity is going to disappear.
Just going to go away.
I see what's happening. All right, I'll jump on this. I do think that this is successfully grim as fuck.
Yes.
Which is what I'm learning is there are no happy endings in the Saw franchise. I keep waiting for someone to get that happy ending.
Oh, Rachel.
I have now given up. And so this is appropriately grim in terms of...
There might be a happy ending in there somewhere.
No.
No.
I just watched 3D, brother. No.
What about...
We'll talk off. Don't spoil anything.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like the closest thing to... Oh, no, that's pretty fucked up, too, is 3, but that's pretty bad, too.
He dies, literally.
Kid, we find out the kid lives, and Jigsaw dies, which I feel is a bonus.
But does he? Doesn't he just live on in our hearts?
Dead? I guess that's true. But anyway, so yeah, I feel like I'm being too harsh. So I'm gonna back off.
No, you're doing fine.
I do think that there is some good, because it is Louis Whannell, there is some good Spirit of Saw success in this. I just think it is extremely light on plot, and maybe it's unfair because I'm living in a PS5 world, and this was pre all of that. So maybe my expectations for plot are too high. But yeah, I felt that, and this is something that throughout the game is like, there's a strong start and a strong finish and mm-hmm. a slog in the middle. And I felt that with the plot as well.
You know what? I think we've put it off enough. Let's get the gameplay. But first, plot scores. I gave it a 7.5. Justin?
Oh, wow. I gave it a 4.
Wow.
I will say just kind of quickly to back to it. My biggest issue with the game is knowing that nothing in this game matters really kind of gets rid of all the stakes for me and just kind of makes it like it didn't really need to happen. Because we literally take nothing away from the game.
Okay, that's fair. And then Rachel.
I gave it a 5.
Oh, man, I was harsher on it than you guys. Okay.
I know.
Like I said, I maybe it's because of where we're about to go. We'll find out. Gameplay.
I'll start if you want, because I know how you guys already feel about this.
Sure.
I thought that doing some of the like bigger traps were okay. I really enjoyed doing the very first trap. Getting out of the reverse bear trap was enjoyable. It was very stressful. It really goes hand in hand with the plot. It really makes you feel like you are in Saw, like right off the bat. And then after that, some stuff happens. You know. The main traps, if you will, I think there's like 5 of them, right? I'm trying to remember all of them. There's 5?
5 or 6.
Five. And they were okay. They were never really as good as the first trap. And, I will agree. I do, like, 99% agree with what you guys are about to say about the rest of the game. I will say in games, I do tend to take my time going walking around and running around. So I tend to notice things that can kill you, like wires across some pillars. So I honestly didn't really have a big issue with the tripwires. But man, this game is clunky as fuck. It feels so bad to play.
Yes.
Like, I can't even imagine thinking it felt good to play back in 2009. Because, like, Batman came out in 2009. Arkham Asylum came out in 2009. Like, the Harry Potter, I think, the Phoenix one. What was the Phoenix one?
Order of the Phoenix
came in. And that game I remember playing, like, feeling okay. This game just feels so bad. Everything is, like, so sluggish and clunky. And the combat is just...
The combat. Worst.
Like, this was like Dark Souls before Dark Souls.
No.
Is what it felt like.
No.
You're
this
right.
Game would have been better if you could take your pants off. I agree.
No, you're right. You're right. Dark Souls did definitely feel better to play. God.
Rachel, I'm going to go last.
Okay. So I'm going to, first of all, combat is probably one of my biggest complaints. I mean, you saw me trying to play it on Twitch.
I did.
The whole having to get into fight, like, stance in order to even begin to attack. And it was so glitchy. Like, why even have you pull the trigger and then push another button? Just pull the trigger! And then just the sluggish way in which he would swing and maybe not swing, or maybe... It was just, like, the joylessness of the combat. The sheer frustration.
I always felt like when I was fighting, too, no matter what happened, I would always... Even if I, like, hit the person, they would never actually get hurt. The first swing would always just, like, glitch through them, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this game.
I mean, the only time it was even remotely fun is if you have the scalpel, because it was like a one and done, you know? Like, that was somewhat satisfying, because you'd just be like, fuck, thank god, it's over. Yeah, the combat was really, and a lot of the stuff with, like you said, it just feels bad when you're playing it. Like, when you're being chased around by the collar guys, which are my most hated thing in the game, the fucking collar guys. It's just, yeah, it's sluggish. It feels like the game is fighting you while you're playing it. It's not playing, you're playing against the game to some degree, and that was not great. But we're getting into all the cons. Let me just say the one thing I did really like. There were a couple of things I did like about gameplay. Again, this is a situation where it was like heavy at the beginning and heavy at the end and just like absent in the middle. Was a lot of the really cool visual puzzles, like using perspective was a lot of fun. I think there was a puzzle early on where you had to turn off the lights and then move around till you could see the gun, so you knew that was the
I watched you play on stream.
Yes, that was really cool. There was a handful of those where you used different light bulbs to find the combinations. Like, those puzzles to me were really fun and satisfying. I actually really enjoyed all the electrode puzzles. There was one where those are my favorite. I love them. The ones, though, that made me, the thing that made me want to throw my controller were those fucking steam, like, the steam pipe ones. The most broken controls in a game I have ever experienced, because it uses the same stick, and if you are slightly right or left, it'll like change the ring that you're working on. And so the puzzles themselves are very easy. Trying to manhandle them into the right order is flames on the side of my face infuriating. I almost quit the game, like, and was just like, you guys are on your own. When I got to Obi and there were three in a row, I was like, fuck my life. Fuck my life. So that was really, yeah, that was probably the biggest thing for me. I'll save the other issue for Larry, but I will say the thing that you're going to talk about is exacerbated by the fact that there is no save. You just have to hit checkpoints. And if you, for instance, there were multiple times where I had to play through long stretches of the game over and over again because I hit one of those things you'll be talking about, or the collar guy got me, or I was going through a wall and just barely got clipped by a sliding razor blade wall. And then I was like, well, 20 minutes again, here we go, and then get to the same thing, and it'd be a new one. You know, it was just... That stuff was really, 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 really frustrating. Yeah, it was... But at the same time, there were moments in this game where I genuinely was having fun, and it was those puzzles or those little surprise moments. One of my favorite things from the first Saw movie is that, like, X marks the spot thing. And something that I've really missed from the subsequent movies, where there is some degree of problem-solving, puzzle-solving, escape room vibes to it. Riddles. And when this game would incorporate those, I found myself having a good time. They were just too far and few in between. Oh, God. And then the grinding up of the pigs. What the hell? No. I got to it and I was like, oh, no. So, yeah, the gameplay was rough, I think. Yeah.
I will say something that... Just quickly, Larry. Sorry, I know. You want to tear this thing apart, and I'm here for it. I will say, while I didn't really enjoy it per se, I liked having when you picked up the flashlight as a light. It was kind of like a cool kind of throwback to the moment in Adam's apartment in Saw 1.
Oh, God.
I hated it, but
you mean
it was
the camera?
Like,
the camera, you mean?
Oh, yeah, what did I say?
Oh, flashlight. You said flashlight. When I made the camera mistake,
yeah.
I was like,
I picked up and put it right back down.
What have I fucking done? I thought I needed it for a puzzle, and then I, like, 20 minutes of flash hell.
Oh, it was horrible, but I thought it was definitely, like, it would have been nice to just, like, have it on the table or something, not have it, like, not
or have it for a puzzle.
Pick up.
Or a boss fight or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like an Outlast.
I hated it for the implementation, but I liked that it was there. I just didn't like using it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, Larry, would you like to?
I've been waiting for this moment since I beat this game.
Would play again.
When the game started out, I am not a big fan of QTEs, but if there was ever a game where I thought QTEs would be appropriate, it would be for a game like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is my pro.
Okay.
This is the worst game I have played on this podcast since Vampire Hunter D.
I love you so much, Larry.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So you guys have hit on a lot of stuff. The combat is mind-numbingly broken. Literally, if it wasn't a scalpel, scissors, or a gun, I didn't pick anything up and I ran from everything. Because trying to fight these things sucked. I got really good at going behind doors and letting the timers kill stuff for me.
Yeah, but they break down the damn doors.
I kept running away. I kept running backwards. I kept distance up.
Okay.
The balancing mechanic isn't hard as long as you just push forward. As long as you don't slow down and you just go forward, there's no issues. If you try to balance, you're fucked because the controls don't work. What?
Balancing is the one time where Larry's rush was successful. I had a point where I thought I can't get past this balance beam.
I remember
it's
that.
Impossible. And then I was making a video to prove how broken it was, and Larry's like, just hurry. And then it worked. I was like, well, you're right about that.
There were such slight moments where I thought the game was going to be more like an Arkham Asylum kind of game where the puzzles meant something and you had to figure out bigger things like what Rachel mentioned, only for it to literally dissolve into nothing. The thing that might have pissed me off the most when it comes to the quote-unquote major puzzles is that if you made a mistake and you had to go repeat them again, they were RNG, so you couldn't even like memorize patterns. That is one of probably my biggest problems in a time-based stress game is that is doing that, especially when it's a beat. So that annoyed me a lot. I'm saving the best for last. The fight with Amanda was so anticlimactic that I was rolling my eyes because, like, the thing is, like, I wasn't very good at it because the combat in this game is ungodly terrible. But
yeah.
As long as you're able to button mash and do that little control, like left right stick thing, you get out of it. Just you do a little more damage, get into that situation again, do it again. Like,
oh, you didn't lead her to the electricity room?
No, didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, well, the place where she's like electrocuting someone, you can like take her into that and like bolt her in and electrocute her.
No, I fought her hand to hand combat.
Oh shit! So you weren't even using traps or anything?
No.
Oh god.
There was the saw, like the jigsaw table where you could build stuff, and I thought that would be cool, only for me to never figure out how to actually pull out any of those traps.
How do you even use them? Yeah. How do you even use... I'm so glad. I'm like, am I a moron?
Nope. I spent time trying to figure it out, and I couldn't do it.
Okay. That's actually very validating. Thank you, Larry.
And finally, well, before I get to that, the game looks like shit. It's hard to see. It's hard to tell what's going on. It did not age well for a 2009 game. And like
it
I said,
it literally looks the same throughout the entire game.
Yeah. And it's hard, like Rachel mentioned, it's hard to tell where you're going. And honestly, when Justin said it came out the same year as Arkham Asylum, that blows my goddamn mind.
That right? is shocking.
It, like, even, and shocking. I know this isn't a AAA studio game. I know that, but.
Dude, but you have to, I mean, well, yeah. The other games that Zombie Studios or sorry whatever I forget their name already developed, they were like, this was probably their biggest game.
Yeah,
but like the thing to remember too is I cut this in the development notes, but like Konami was hoping this would be their next Silent Hill, and after the second one they obviously stopped hoping for that.
Yeah. And finally, the thing I've been saving for the very end. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before we were recording or in the intro. So for people who listen to this podcast, you know that kind of my strategy when it comes to survival horror is to save weapons, save ammo, save health, and run past everything that I can run, that I'm able to run past.
Yeah.
This game forces you, in one way that I think is kind of cool, to slow down, which is you have a trap around your neck, and so do other enemies. and you either have to kill them fast enough that their timer stops working or get away from them so that their timer goes off. I actually found that kind of cool. What I did not find cool is the trip wires. Now, Justin, I know you kept telling me to slow down.
Yes.
There's a segment of this game, like, where you go through a bathroom and you go upstairs. It's like four or five of these motherfuckers. And, and like, is there so much time between when you, like, where the autosave part is? Oh. I turned the brightness all the way up. I asked Devin to stop working, because she was working at home that day, to stop working on her taxes and to watch what I was doing to help me. I spent probably 90 minutes trying to clear that section because I kept, like, I would forget about one of the trip wires and hit it. The auto death system in this game, I get why it does it, but in a game where the controls are clunky as hell, where the enemies can glitch and do stupid stuff and make you mess up, and when you literally cannot see the trip wires from time to time, that is unfair gameplay. And
it's brutal.
It has been a while. It's honestly probably been since Vampire Hunter D that I wanted to break a controller for this podcast and the game we played. But I was fucking furious. I was so mad. And the thing is, you get through that, and then the very end, we have to do... I think, Rachel, you were stuck there last night, at least last time we talked before you actually beat it, where you have to go through the different rooms, and you have, like, the electricity puzzles and the tube puzzles and all these different puzzles and the timer and stuff. And it's just like...
That one is crazy.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, there were some times where I'd get the first one done really, really fast, and the second one I would get to it, and, like, I just couldn't math it out. And there was one time where I got it done, I was running back, and the bombs went off, and I just...
When you solve it, and then it's, like, 2 seconds to go, and you're just, like, running down that hall, or should I say, like... Like, I don't even know what you would call it. Sluggish dream walking down the hall.
And the thing is, like you figure out the puzzle, like, okay, I'll do it next time. And then it changes. And I'm sorry, but, like, especially when there's no way to, like, make it easier. Like, this is just there's just the basic game mode and the hard game mode. When there's no way to, like, change that, it's not fun. Like,
Were you set on hard?
No, I played on normal. There's normal and then there's hard.
Okay, yeah, I did not play it on order.
So I'm saying, like, if you can't even drop it to make it a little bit easier, and then the fact that it keeps changing every single time, like I'm sorry, but, like, when you have bullshit gameplay mechanics and you have stupid stuff like that, and it's the reason why I put the plot so high, because it was the only thing really about this game that I really enjoyed, and I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Like, I mean, it's going to get a score very similar to Rampage World Tour, but at least Rampage World Tour buttons made sense. It's just over 130 levels. It made me want to kill myself. This made me want to jump off a bridge, because it was supposed to be 6 hours, ended up being 9 hours because of how bad the gameplay was.
Right. The other thing was, so much of this game was not intuitive at all. Like, some of the puzzles, you were like, what?
Yes.
What?
Like, the bead drop thing. There were so many times where, I think I'm a pretty smart guy. Like, I think I'm a little bit intelligent. And it took me like an hour to wrap my head around this stupid puzzle. And I was like, you know what? I'm spending too much time on this. I got to get this game beat. Like, let's go online. And it's like, oh, yeah, there's no pattern to it. Change it every single time. And that's when I knew I was fucked. Like, that's when I knew that I was going to have to just figure it out.
Yeah. For me, it was, like, the stupid match game. I
actually got that on my first try. But again, that was luck. It was all luck-based. And I'm sorry. Like, Justin, I know you compared it earlier to Dark Souls 2, or Dark Souls when we played it. No. Like, Dark Souls...
Oh, no. I that was a joke. Yeah, that was a joke more than anything. I just meant, like, how people who... don't enjoy Dark Souls look at Dark Souls as, like, oh, it's a clunky mess, basically, is how a lot of people who do not play Dark Souls look at it. That's how, if you were, it feels like how Dark Souls looks in the combat. If that makes any sense, Dark Souls combat looks clunky, but I think there's a lot of strategy there. I learned that myself when we played through Dark Souls.
I just don't think I'm following your...
Oh, basically the combat in this is absolute trash.
Okay. I was trying to follow your logic train. I just kind of, it might be because I'm tired, but no, like I'm saying, like Dark Souls is brutal, but I feel it's brutal. Like even when I was getting my ass creamed by Demon Fire Sage for like an hour straight, like
you were having fun in a way.
I was not having fun. Well, there was no fun being had.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
I knew it was me. I knew it was me not doing doing the damn thing right.
Right. That's the thing. Yes, that's the point. Is it's you feel like when I say you're fighting the game, what I'm saying is like you're just trying to work around the glitches that are totally cutting your legs out from under
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And sending you back 20 minutes to that last fucking checkpoint.
Yes. So that's where I'm at. I'm ready to give a score if y'all are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, why don't you go first? Because I feel like we know what your score is.
1.5.
Whoa!
I gave it a half point because I honestly think that QTEs were the way to go for a Saw game. Justin.
So I actually, for the first time ever, went back and looked at my gameplay scores because I was like, man, I kind of liked this better than Deadly Premonition 2. Because Deadly Premonition 2 was...
You got a really bad glitch in Deadly Premonition 2.
Oh, man. I fucking still hate that game. I will never go back and play it.
Sorry,
and
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed playing it more than Rampage. And I kind of... No, I definitely enjoyed it more than, like... I'm trying to think, what was the other one I saw? Like Rust and Par. Probably had
Rust and Par was a fun time. We got to schedule the second game at some point, because I loved that experience with you. Especially now that we're doing it on Twitch. It would be so much fun.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is we couldn't figure out how to stream it because of how I had to do it. I know. But we'll look more into it. But, and then I came across a game that I was like, oh, that is a low score for gameplay. Man of Medan. Or Medan, or however you want to say it.
Man of Medan was just bad because they tried to do co-op and didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Hey, some of those co-op things where I accidentally killed you, that will like...
I warned you. I literally said, Justin, this is going to be me. Don't kill me.
And I'm like, there's a guy trying to fucking stab me.
I told you. I literally said, guessing that it was going to be me and you killed me. Continue on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. And this kind of fell in the same range of how that felt to play for me. So I ended up giving it a 3.5.
Okay. And Rachel.
My God, I feel like I'm being way too generous on this one because there were a couple of handful of moments that I did enjoy. And I gave it a 4.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Okay.
You spent the most time with it. I thought for sure you'd be lower than me.
I mean, well,
you're just a nice person.
I guess so. I mean, there were, like I said, there were a handful of moments where I was having an okay time.
Uh-huh.
But and I'm rethinking my 4. But oh well, whatever. This thing's gonna be tanked anyway.
Audio. Rachel, you go first.
Okay, so this one's a mixed bag for me. I think performances wise obviously, like, Tobin Bell has this thing locked in. He could be reading a recipe book and I'd be like, oh god, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever heard. So he did, I think he is great. He is the star of the show without question. The rest of the performances are rough stuff. I mean, I know some of it is just of the time that it came out, so it's just very, all the performances are extremely stilted. And there are a lot of moments where, especially with those poison gas traps, where Tap's voice sounds like it's not the same actor, like maybe it's stock audio. So that is not great. I will say the score itself, using a lot of the Saw music and the music cues, definitely were effective in terms of putting me on edge. Like when you hadn't seen the enemy yet, but the music started and you're like, shit.
Yep.
And so for its purpose, I think that it did a really effective job. And there were a lot of sound effects that were quite chilling, like when you would hear footsteps above you, or when you would hear screams in the distance, or you knew someone was, like, you know, in the next room. All of that stuff worked. But performances, and not so much. Yeah, I don't know. I think it takes from a franchise that uses sound very effectively, and in the same way that it mirrors the movies. That, you know, it uses that, so that same kind of sound effects to really good effect.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very much a mixed bag for me. Performances down, sound design pretty good.
I'm actually gonna hop in real quick and just say everything you said. I agree with. I think Tobin Bell is amazing. I've said that so far for all reviews for the Saw movies. And I think here once again he plays Jigsaw so well. It's one of the reasons why like he's so iconic with the franchise, even though he's been dead since 3. The sound design is really good, like with the glass and the enemies and the music. Mm-hmm. It is the overall voice acting, though, from everyone else that definitely leaves a lot to be desired and definitely tanks this score, mainly just because I think when you have so many other characters you're trying to save,
yeah,
and those characters aren't very like well performed, what you end up having then is a very anticlimactic journey with these characters. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, I honestly echo what Rachel said. Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. Tobin Bell is amazing as always, Jigsaw. The soundtrack itself is like very close to the Charlie Clouser or Clouser, however you say his last name, is very close to like what he kind of brought to the films. And it, I mean, it sounds great. I kind of forgot what it sounded like until I played that little clip kind of going into this, and it really stands up there with some of the Saw music. I don't think it stands up there with like Hello Zep, but I definitely think like from the sequels on, it definitely stands with the rest of them. The environmental sounds are fantastic. I liked the sounds of the traps. Especially the reverse bear trap. It sounds so gritty and just so, it sounds very good. Like you mentioned, like both of you mentioned, the rest of the voice cast though, oh my god.
Wow.
I mean, you can tell that this came from a time where people were not acting in front of each other. They were just kind of in a closet somewhere.
Justin, we played that game for Whitney, Phantasmophobia.
Yeah, Phantasmophobia 2.
Phantasmagoria 2. That voice acting was better than this.
Oh, absolutely. The voice acting in this is horrible.
And that game came out like almost 20 years earlier.
92, I think. I don't remember honestly. But yeah, the voice acting in this game is not good. I think Rachel kind of nailed it.
Yeah, Rachel nailed it out of the park, yeah. For sure. So for audio, I gave it a 3. Justin?
Ooh, I gave it a 5 because I did like half of it and I just didn't like the voice acting really.
Like I said,
same.
You gave it a 5 too, Rachel?
Yeah, it's like 50-50. So yeah. 5.
Like I said, for me, the hardest part is that like they're asking you to save people who, because of how bad they are acted, I just don't care to save them.
Also, the total lack of internal logic. They're like, hurry up, save me, save me. You set them free. How could you save me? This was my test. You messed everything up. Like, bitch, make up your mind.
Oh, how scary.
This one's tricky.
This one,
I can go first.
Sure.
Go for it.
I think they do a really good job in the first bit of this. Maybe like the first, I'll give it an hour, maybe less than that, of like really setting up this like tension and really like. I was legitimately kind of freaked out and scared. Freaked out with the first like half an hour to an hour of this game. Just like with the setting was just very, it had a lot of like presence to it. And it was very dark and gritty. And you see people die. And, you know, I started to get like, oh, man, is this game, like, I couldn't really remember, like, oh, is this game, like, scary? I don't really remember. But I think about, yeah, let's say an hour. I'll be nice and give it an hour. Basically, after that first hour, I think the game itself is just so frustrating that it kind of takes away from this category. Like, it just, it is so infuriating playing this game that the game itself had a hard time, like, connecting with me and actually, like, having any effect on me.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, the first half an hour to an hour was, like, kind of creepy, and then it just got frustrating as all hell.
Yeah.
And then I stopped caring, so, yeah.
Rachel, why don't you go ahead?
I mean, I think this game is incredibly good at causing anxiety. Is that being scared? I don't know. I was anxious through the entire game, like, extreme, to the point of unpleasantness.
Yeah.
Where I was just, and I think some of it was just being like, I gotta get through this, I gotta get through this, you know? And I guarantee if I did not have to complete it, I would have put the controller down because it was so unpleasant because of the anxiety. So if we're grading on an anxiety, it's a 10. But when Justin's talking about how the early parts of the game, there's a lot of atmosphere and it was a different feeling. And so hearing you talk about that is kind of helping me separate my feelings as to how scary it is as opposed to how anxiety-inducing it is.
Oh, yeah. If we're talking about anxiety, any time a timer came up, I was like, all right, well, I'm. Where's my buffer? I need it. I'm having an anxiety attack.
Right, right. And I do think that the early stuff really does create a great sense of atmosphere. At first, yeah, that asylum is pretty creepy.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Like, before you get tired of trying to read the files and you're hearing the backstory of, like, the experimentation, like, all of that is great atmosphere building.
Yeah.
The problem is it never changes. There is a courtyard and a library, and then everything else looks exactly the same. And so the like the ROI on the atmosphere just drops, 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 drops. So that after, yeah, like the fifth time you're sticking your hand in a needle toilet, it's just not that impactful.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. There's about an hour of good atmosphere, and then it kind of just like, turd city. Yeah. So I would say if you wanna experience stress, high recommendation.
Yeah.
If you want to be scared, maybe not so much.
Well, and it's kind of crazy because, I mean, I think even when you come up against, like, the first, like, head trap guy.
Oh, do like, not like.
I think the second you see him, it's, like, freaky and kind of, like, really you get, like, tense and, like, oh, fuck, like, what is about to happen? But then you realize what you have to do and it's like, oh. I mean, yes, it's stressful, but it's, like,
and also, you know, like, what to do because you've just run into three tripwires.
Yeah, I'll just...
That's pretty stressful.
And I'll just piggyback on what you guys said. Like, I mean, it's kind of nice following both of you because you guys cover everything. Like, the game starts off feeling like a Saw movie. And because of the gameplay and the voice acting, by the end, even though that there is a stronger story in comparison to, like, other video game movie adaptations... or movie video game adaptations, however that works, you know what I mean. I just don't care. I would say the biggest fear for me,
having to replay.
No, it was the frustration. It was the what stupid things gonna cause me to mess up now, as opposed to what challenges ahead. It's what stupid gameplay bullshit is going to make me replay another half an hour of my life.
that is so triggering. That statement is so triggering.
And with that, I gave it a 2.5. Justin.
I gave it a 3.
And Rachel.
I gave it a 4. Who would have ever guessed that I was going to be the nice judge? Usually I'm the mean one.
Justin, I can see you hovering around in my score sheet, ruining the surprise for yourself.
Yeah, I was curious. Okay, I was too curious. I'll get out of there now.
See, now you got to go in the trap now, and you're going to need to learn not to be so curious.
Yeah, we got to find a way. We got to get a hold of Jigsaw and see how to punish you. I'm not sure. Would that be like...
You might have to dig in the ground a little bit.
Is that the rack? Would that be the proper one?
I mean, I can play the rack again if you want. I still have
I feel like it should be like the eye pokey because he's like too looky loo.
Oh, there you go.
She's far smarter than I. I don't want to be like grouped in with that guy.
This is the first time I think I've ever caught you spying on the score sheet.
That's the first time I've ever looked. I was curious.
And the last, apparently. Jeez.
Yeah, jeez. I'm going to get called in.
It was a surprise. I like this. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't be sorry. Give a shit.
It's funny.
For plot.
Everyone get along. Mom and Dad, get along.
For a plot, I gave it a 7.5. Justin gave it a 4. Rachel gave it a 5. For gameplay, I gave it a 1.5. Justin gave it a 3.5. Rachel gave it a 4. For audio, I gave it a 3. Justin and Rachel gave it a 5. And for how scary, I gave it a 2.5. Justin gave it a 3, and Rachel gave it a 4. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 40.
Yeah, that feels right.
Which hurts, honestly, because, like...
I mean, but if you look at the state of, like, film adaptation video games, or however you want to say it, like, that's pretty high. A lot of these, like, adaptation games end up being... garbage. I don't know if you've ever played like the Terminator game.
No.
Like Terminator Salvation, I think is what it was called. It's
just not like good. I said, Aragon was like the one that sticks out to me. The Harry Potter ones weren't bad. I go back and replay the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone one.
You know what? Two Towers?
Oh, Justin, I told you. I think we should find a way to play that together.
That game is amazing.
But yeah, like the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on the Game Boy Advance, I believe, is like a turn-based RPG.
Really?
Oh yeah, and like you learn spells and upgrade your spells like you would like magic in like a Final Fantasy game. I would anybody who likes a turn-based RPG, I would highly recommend it. Okay. Justin, you would call this Saw the video game? Is that how you would like to call it?
That's what it's called.
Perfect. It almost is in the bottom 10.
Almost. It should be in the bottom 10. Almost. I'm adjusting my score.
It is 12th from the bottom, actually. It falls between Lake Placid with a 41% and right above Justin's forced entry, Salem's Lot, the film, which has a 37%.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I saw the one picture and I was like, oh, this looks fucking cool.
One picture and you saw Toby Hooper directed it. Honestly, much greater men have been fooled by more, by less, I mean.
Oh, man, it was just, oh, God, 3 hours. 3.5 hours wasted. Okay. Anyway.
Especially how much we both liked the... I mean, I liked it a lot more, but you liked the book, too.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is very close. The video game below it is Blair Witch Volume 1 Rust and Par, which has a 28%. And the video...
That game can go fuck
itself. I had a great time playing that with you. And the game above it is Deadly Premonition with a 44%.
Okay.
I'm actually very curious about that Deadly Premonition game.
So I think you would like the first one.
The second one, don't touch. Do not touch the second
until
one.
It's patched, I would agree with Justin, but because you like Twin Peaks, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, the further away I get from Deadly Premonition, the more I want to go back and replay it. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I always feel like that's the kiss of death, though. Anytime someone's like, it's a game like Twin Peaks. It never, ever is.
It is.
It is, but it's also not.
Yeah, so if you're going into it expecting like a Twin Peaks the game, you're not going to get that. If you go in expecting so best way I can describe it, and it's not as good as this. Remember the Psych episode, Twin Spires?
Yeah,
it's that vibe for the entire game.
Okay.
But it's obviously not Twin Peaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no.
But I know what you mean. Yeah.
I honestly think you would like it.
Okay.
Especially if you didn't have a time crunch and have to review it for a podcast. I think you would like it.
Yeah, I think that's, man, I have a new respect for like what you guys do on this show. Like you have a level of commitment that is very impressive, because I don't think most people that review stuff would have stuck it out.
That's something Justin and I have come to discover, and funnily enough, like Seagram, he's brought it up before, but it's something important to Justin. Like, when we first started out, it's like we want to complete it. Like, we want the whole experience.
Yeah, we have to finish it.
I think it is really hard work, but it definitely, my review evolved.
Yes.
And I think that my review is much more honest than it would have been had I stopped halfway through. So it sucks, but I think the policy is correct.
Because like I know like when you were, because you felt bad because we had an earlier recording date and you didn't want to let us down, so you watched it, and I was like, Rachel, watching is not the same.
I don't even think I watched it. I like read the wiki. And it's not the same.
And that's what I'm saying.
I had not been to like, I had not been stuck in a freezer.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about that freezer puzzle. Son of a bitch, that sucked. I forgot about that. I literally had to have Devin talk me down and say, Larry, just take it a step at a time and figure it out. Because I was getting, I forgot. Oh my God, I forgot about that freezer puzzle.
Oh my God. I'll never forget, RIP, my life. So I have a little confession to make. I think, remember how I said Saw is like in my dreams?
Yeah.
I think I dreamed up the video game remake. I've been like surreptitiously kind of like looking, and I was like, no, I know I saw this. And so I think I freaking dreamt it.
They're re-releasing the first Saw in 4K.
Yeah, no.
The first Saw film?
It was a whole... Yes. I have like a memory of a full article. I think I dreamt it.
Okay, well, can I tell you the headline from Bloody Disgusting is... Sure. Play Jigsaw's first game in 4K Ultra HD.
There you go.
Oh.
That's why.
But it is just the movie.
It is maybe the first Saw. Maybe that's what I said. Okay, all right. Sense. I feel a little bit
I found it kind of when we were talking about it, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's it right
that
there.
That makes more sense.
I'm not going to give a shit for it. Cause,
oh, I mean, yeah.
That makes total sense.
Give me shit.
No.
The policy should be always to give me shit, because I will always give you shit.
But yeah, just kind of wrap up the thing you brought up, is I personally feel that I don't read reviews,
right?
Like, of things that come out. Like, if I want to get something, I'm going to get something. If I want to watch something, I'm going to watch something. Mm-hmm. But when I go to listen to reviews, like, example, for Zombie Girls, it's kind of how I found you, Rachel, is that you guys watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I want that from games, too. Like, because there are so many times, like, maybe like get a good running start, and then it collapses on itself. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if that's coming my way, and that's something that's it sucks. Like Vampire Hunter D, we literally had to put down for like 2.5 months and come back to, because it browbeat the hell out of us. And there are games where Justin's had to like literally like talk to me through Skype, like the Nosferatu Wrath of Malachi. Like Justin literally had to like talk me off a cliff several times in that game.
So you're like part podcast, part like emotional support group.
Yeah.
Oh man. I can see that. I can definitely
In Dark Souls, like I was getting beat, like I was getting harassed on Twitch, and I was just not doing well, and I had to like hop offline and grind and get to a level where I was at least big enough that I could take a hit or two. Mm-hmm. And so I think, but that provides a much more.
Well, it's on. You have like more of it, like an honest opinion.
Exactly.
About the whole package.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to put it out there, having now gone through the experience.
Well, we're happy.
In the past, I played like super fun games that I like was drawing out because I didn't want them to end. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I have now experienced the other side.
I fully expect our next game, which is Resident Evil Village.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Which, crazy enough, will be coming out in a month.
I did not play the demo. I'm just going to go in super cold.
Same here. I didn't even look at anything. Sorry, Justin. I know you wanted to talk about it.
I've looked at some memes of the tall lady, and that is like it. I played like the first few minutes of the. They put out
Maiden,
like
the Maiden demo.
Yeah, you can.
You can actually play that because that's not part of the final game. That's basically just like a visual showcase to show.
I was like,
how good it looks on the PS5.
This is gonna be good.
Yeah, cause I talked to Justin, and if it was going to be similar to like Beginning Hour for Resident Evil 7, where it was like, this is what the game is going to be like, but this is nothing that's in the game. Uh-huh. I was gonna play it, but I mean, it's Resident Evil. Like I would.
Oh, it's like straight up, just like a vertical slice.
Ever since I've had money to buy my own games, whenever Resident Evil game drops, I buy it.
Yeah.
So like it didn't matter.
It's an auto buy. I know. Yeah. I totally know what you mean.
So
the real question is, Rachel, are you ready to beat a Resident Evil game in like less than a week?
6 days.
Yeah, I mean, I on my calendar, I have blacked out that weekend. Like, that is what I'm doing that
week. I am actually working from home the following week after it. I'm moving stuff up to our new apartment, switching over the internet, and I'm playing Resident Evil Village. I have to have my computer, the internet, and everything moved up there by the 13th, which is when we're going to review it. And Saturday's a wash because we're going to go see a band for Devin. It's like a small local band outside. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Resident Evil Village. We are 2 weeks away?
That's wild.
The
7th? Yeah. It's like
I need to reach out to Best Buy and see if they're doing a Steelbook release or if I just got to buy it digital.
Yeah, I'm just going to buy the digital.
I usually do. I'm in the midst of packing.
But you're kind of a collector with this particular franchise.
I am. So I have totally the Steelbooks for 2, 3, and I have another Steelbook from Resident Evil 4.
What if they re-released Resident Evil 6 and it had a Steelbook?
I'd buy it. Ooh. I'd probably never take it out of the plastic, but I'd buy it.
Oh, man.
What a piece of shit game. Okay. Oh, hey, Resident Evil 6 got a higher score than this game.
Yeah, but it's still, you know what? I still hate Resident Evil 6.
I hate Resident Evil 6 more than I hate this. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, like, oh, fuck, man.
That was a fun episode, grind. Though.
Talk a bit, like, oh my
God. Your pain was my pleasure.
Honestly, kind of going back to the whole game thing, I multiple times tried to talk Larry into us just not doing it.
Yeah.
Really?
And just like, hey, let's just not do it. Hey, let's.
He did. He did several times. He offered a lot of, like, bargaining, too. I was like, no, dude, we're... we asked Twitter. We said do split them up or do it together, and Twitter said do it together. So yep. four campaigns.
I feel like half the time I've known you were doing Resident Evil.
Probably, it feels like it.
I mean, probably not technically, but
the worst part was
like every time I talk to you,
we saved Leon for last. Because that's a character we both like the most, but his story might be the most boring after the first chapter.
Oh no!
Oh, absolutely.
So it starts
off so strong and then just bad.
Yeah.
God, that game. All right. On that happy note, Justin, play a commercial from the member podcast of Kaleidoscope Media Network because Rachel hasn't sent hers to us yet.
Yesterday I recorded with Mars and we were like game planning. I was like, we got to come up with a good thing. And
I'm just harassing you. As soon as you get it to us, we'd love to include it.
Oh, absolutely. Harass away, my friend.
And I've been harassing Alex too, so you aren't alone.
All right, Alex, reach out. We'll commiserate. Like, they're so mean.
We just want to help promote. But yeah, Justin, course, hit that button, play that song, and let's wrap this up.
Ghosts, split souls, monsters, sociopathic villains, cold-blooded murders, and nightmares becoming reality. Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series.
It can be scarier than you might think.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And in our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
Rachel, I do want to say I am proud of you for completing it.
Yeah, of course.
Me too.
Listen, I committed and I was going to do it.
We have.
I never want to let you guys down. I felt so bad the first time when I couldn't get through it. And then when
we had time. And that's, last night. Yeah, we had time, which is, and that's the thing is like, as long as we have time to edit, we have no problem moving things around. That's always the biggest thing. And yeah, I will totally say you did avoid joining a club of people who have been bested by games on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
That is very true.
Too strong.
Yeah.
True Hoax was unable to beat Vampire Hunter D. He waved the white flag, and Alex was unable to beat System Shock 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you avoided becoming the third member of that crew.
Oh, I'm so proud. I'm in the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Shame.
So we've already recorded it, but for our listeners, the next episode is going to be what Justin has called the Amanda arc.
Did you guys listen? You guys listen to the warning? I recorded it. Okay.
Morris and I talked about that yesterday too.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in that, but there is one sequence where Justin does something that no one is ready for, and I think
they literally flew off my body. They flew. They. erupted off of my body.
Like,
all right, guys, my bad. Okay.
Like when it happened, I was like, is Justin like trying to be a dick right now? Like, I didn't know what was going on.
No, I wasn't.
Because he set us up in this way. I was like, oh, okay. And then it's like, oh my God, bro.
It's when I realized that moment right there is when it hit me that, you know what? Maybe I am a little more broken inside than everybody else.
I'm excited to see what the listener's reaction was to it, because I know mine when it happened was like, Rachel's pissed. Mars isn't talking.
I
got
like
sandbagged.
Shook.
I didn't know it was coming. But
I did put a timestamp in the basically recorded like a warning, so it'll play before the episode, and it gives them like skip this time to this time, and you're good.
Cool.
And I tell them what plays. So
then after that again will be the Hoffman arc, which is 5, 6, and 3D, or also known as the final chapter. Apparently, it was slated as 3D, and then it got changed to be the final chapter. So it kind of goes back and forth. So dealer's choice there.
Resident Evil Village. I watched that shit in 3D, so.
I watched it in 3D in theaters.
Yeah. That's what
I meant. Resident Evil Village, Jigsaw, which will be a true review. Spiral, as long as Justin can get his hands on it, will be the last one. And that's the end of our Saw stuff.
And then, man, is it bad that I'm like, I'm just being honest here. I am really not looking forward to going back to Kaiju.
No, I am, because I'm excited for the anime. Death Stranding has been an interesting experience.
I will say the anime has, like, I haven't watched it yet. That's kind of on my to-do list.
Well, you have, like, 2 months.
Well, exactly. I'm going to watch maybe, like, an episode a week. But, like, it has definitely been my, like, okay, you know what? At least we have this. I know I've, like, watched the trailer for
the Have you seen the anime Blood Sea, Rachel?
No, I'm not even familiar with it. Yeah, I thought maybe you guys were doing, like, some of the Godzilla anime.
Yeah, me neither. We might add Colossal or maybe like Shin Godzilla to give ourselves more time because of the games coming up. But honestly, even though it's going to suck so much, we are rapidly approaching our Patreon forced review, which will
be... Do we know what it is yet?
No, we're doing a Twitter poll.
Oh, okay.
So it will be Arachnequake,
dying to know.
Velocipaster, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, Thanksgiving, Ghost Shark, or Godzilla and Son.
I feel like your only hope might be Velocipaster.
My only hope is going to be Godzilla and Son, because Godzuki is cute.
Oh. Okay, I guess that's true.
That is the only one that for me is like, okay, he's cute and I can deal with the crazy story of like nuclear snow putting Godzilla to sleep.
I will say there is one thing I am really looking forward to when we go back to Kaiju.
What's that?
Dark Souls 3, baby.
I'm not.
Dark Souls 3 is going
to
be so
Watching good. You play a game last night just brought on waves of stress. I won't lie to you.
Hey, imagine playing it and going, oh shit, I am not as good at this game as I thought I was.
And like, I still have to beat Death Stranding before we get to it.
You were getting punked by some pigs.
Yeah, you were. That was funny.
Yo, those fucking... Okay, can we talk about that? Like, why are those pigs so strong? I don't understand.
Why did you keep fighting them instead of just, like, larrying out of there?
That's what I would have done.
Because I can't. I have to, like... They fronted. I wasn't going to give to them because, you know, they're like the first, like, I guess, enemy out of the tutorial area that I found. I couldn't, like... back into that. I had to like stand my ground, you know, like, yeah, fucking what's up,
yeah,
pigs.
I don't know that was the message that would
No, it really didn't. Oh my god.
All right, so that, guys, any last words or notes before we wrap this up and head on out?
No, I'm really excited for Resident Evil.
Me too.
That's
excited to finish the
movies. So here's the question.
What's up?
We don't necessarily have to review it, but do you guys want to play some of that RE-verse that comes with the game?
No.
Okay.
Because last time we ended up adding it to Resident Evil 3 and it tanked the review.
I honestly think that is the way you had to go with that.
I know. So if I have an option this time, I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, I'll do whatever you guys want, but...
Yeah. As long as you're okay with that.
Oh, I don't. Honestly, I don't care.
Okay. If as long as you're cool with it, I would rather not even mess with it.
Not at all. I honestly, I saw some of that that beta footage and was like...
I haven't seen anything, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just stay away from it, yeah.
So that's it, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us, and until next week, stay scary.
We want to thank Rachel and Mars from the Stream Queens for joining us on this adventure through Saw, and we apologize in advance for any long-term damage this might cause. Thank you to our patrons who help make the show what it is. We are incredibly thankful to you, truly. If you want to find the show on Twitter, you can at Here's JohnnyCast. You can find Larry at BeaverLA and Justin at PickleThing. Be sure to check out Stream Queens over at zombiegirls.com or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. And in the wise words of Jigsaw.
Most people are so ungrateful to be alive. But not you. Not anymore. Ah! Ah! Game over.